We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for buy one, get one free on select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real life moments. Maurice's.
We are off and rolling. Thursday, August 7, 2025 is the date. Welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, Gabe Kuhn, on X at G_Kuhn71. I'm alongside the executive producer of the show. That'd be Connor Dunning on X at C_Dunning929. Connor Hampline?
Gabe, it is a glorious night for a couple of reasons. One, I am hosting General Knowledge Trivia at Hampline at 7 o'clock. Free trivia, great beer, great people, great pizza. Come on out. We got plenty of spots open. But two, Gabe, we have NFL football.
We have three NFL football games.
We have three NFL football games tonight.
Yeah.
We've made it. We made it.
Yeah.
We
did. We're here. And it looks like Geno Smith's going to give it a go and in a revenge game against the Seahawks, if you do that for
Does
the Raiders.
Does this count as the revenge game?
Also, we get the Anthony Richardson, Daniel Jones experience, whatever that's going to look like. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about it. But we have 3 hours of talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. And we're absolutely loaded up. We have a bunch of NFL to get to. Trip around the NFL will be at 5:30. But my guest today, I'm so excited. We have so much football to talk. And we have all football guests. 4:30. I get a round of applause ready for this. My guy, my former OC at the University of Memphis. He was also at Texas A&M with Jimbo Fisher. We'll definitely dive into that. But Daryl Dickey is going to join the show today at 4:30. He is an absolute character. He's a personality. Can't wait to discuss and reminisce with him about the times at the University of Memphis and his coaching career. 5 o'clock. We don't have Jeff today. Jeff is in court dealing with the road thing we were talking about yesterday. But 5 o'clock, Kyron Samuels will join. He's a normal regular on a Thursday. And then 6 o'clock, to talk some Brendan Lewis, because he got to cover his games at CBS Sports last year, and to sort of dive into the group of five. He's a former Rice quarterback. We bring in Taylor McHarg. Taylor McHarg from CBS Sports. Blitz will be at 6:30. So that is the show for you. Now, I want to open away from football because I saw this today. Has to do with the Memphis basketball program, Connor. And we know there's been bad news, a lot of bad news, between the Malcolm Dandridge academic integrity thing, where you have 2 more years of probation, Sincere Parker dealing with his aggravated assault case, the lack of bigs just in general, the lack of continuity, no familiar faces. It's a completely turned over roster. Penny Hardaway was asked on if he's going to add more to the roster. And Penny Hardaway, while, you know, he was playing golf, said that I want to add more bigs, at least 2 more bigs for sure. Connor, I'm going to be honest with you, and I could totally see this season being a tournament season, Like, that's not my biggest concern. I think this team still has top-end talent, better talent than the rest of the American. But I'm a little more doom and gloom on this team for one reason. It feels like the drama is here, and it feels like there's a lot of moving pieces. And if we have learned from the past, just like 23-24, there with the David Jones and Javon Quinterly team and Jordan Brown on and off the team, or the Imani Bates season where he's in and out of the lineup. I know they made the tournament and won a game. That's the one win the Penny Hardaway has had. If we've learned anything from the Penny Hardaway tenure, when you have this many moving pieces, it usually does not work out the best. Now, I think he's learned some things along the way. I don't think the Sincere Parker thing has anything to do with him. Like, he can't control that, especially with a guy who doesn't have a criminal past, just sort of falling into this. But if we've learned anything from the Penny Hardaway tenure, when there's a lot of different moving parts, when there's drama, you usually don't get the results you want.
I think for me, it like you said, there have been a lot of moving parts for Memphis basketball this offseason. I think that some of the drama, it's like you said, Sincere Parker and that situation, that case, I'm not going to put that on Memphis basketball, and I'm not saying that you are either. It's just that is a separate situation to me.
Right.
There's no way that you can predict that or prevent that. It is something
but it's
that
drama.
Happened. It is drama, and it is a bit of a distraction. I think the biggest distraction is that you're not going to have that guy on the roster until that case is dealt with and we see what happens there. For me, the comments, the concern from the comments was these guys have been on campus for a little bit, and if Penny is now saying, oh,
right,
we still need two bigs, what does that mean? How have the bigs looked in practice?
I can tell you. I mean, you have basically Aaron
That's
Bradshaw,
my concern
who,
comes
who's
in.
More of a stretch big, who's had some issues since being a McDonald's All-American, needs to stay on the floor more, fouls a little bit too much, but he has a skill set that I think they can take advantage of. Then you have, like, William Wharton, the transfer they got this offseason. Like, I could have told you that after a couple of months with this team, he would be sort of saying this. They need to find bigs, but I don't know where they find bigs at this point. There's just not
any
options.
We got 2.5 months.
There's not any options. And then also, if you're bringing in guys that are just bodies, that's concerning. And then you're bringing them in and they have to, it's sort of a crash course at this point, right? He had made a focus to get guys on campus in June, right? To get the camaraderie, get them working in the right direction. Having guys come in late August into September, that's a crash course for this program. And I don't know if you're going to get a lot of production from any more guys you're bringing in. And I also think that when you look at Penny Hardaway, he's been asked this question how many times this offseason? Like, numerous. He's had a different answer just about every time. We're going to add one more. Oh, we're done. We're going in the season this way. And now we're going to add two more bigs. We need to add two more bigs. I think this is probably the right thing to do. You need to have more bigs on this team because the front court is my biggest concern. Three-point shooting is there as well. But it just feels like late additions that may not be able to perform or produce going into next year. Your options are limited, and if you do find good options, they have to get acclimated and going quickly.
Yes, they do. And that's where, you know, to the point that you made earlier, I still think this can be a tournament season for the Tigers, most notably because of the conference that they are in. There's not a ton of competition. There's a little bit of competition. You know, we've talked to David Cobb about it frequently, about who he thinks will come, who get that automatic bid from the American. No longer.
Yes,
yet.
Not
so,
the AAC.
The American. I will give Penny credit in it seems like he has identified this team is not ready yet. They don't have the depth that they need, especially at the big position. So I'm happy that he's wanting to add more bigs because as we've been
looking at
the roster over the summer, we've been saying there's a hole here. You know, it feels like that you're putting all of your eggs in the Aaron Bradshaw basket. And that doesn't
feel... I don't know if that's reliable.
Exactly. Like, that doesn't feel reliable. Aaron Bradshaw might come out and have a really big season for the University of Memphis. But at the end of the day, you're going to need depth there. Because what happens if he gets in foul trouble? Where are you turning if he gets in foul trouble for a single game? You need to have some sort of backup plan. Literally, you need to have a backup plan for a guy like Aaron Bradshaw. So I like that he's identified it. I do think that it's a little bit late. And like you said, what are the options going to be? Are there viable players to come in and really be able to impact a team like the University of Memphis that can help them get to the goals that they have, which is, you know, not just making the NCAA tournament, but winning a game in the NCAA tournament? That feels like that's the goal of Memphis basketball this year, is to make a step in the right direction. It was a big deal making it back to the NCAA tournament. Last year was highly successful for the University of Memphis, but they unfortunately they fell short in the NCAA tournament. Now, we can go over the reasons why. I think most notably it was injury. Tyrese Hunter's injury was a big reason why. You know, P.J. Haggerty didn't have a great game in that one. Dane Danger was phenomenal, but not having Tyrese Hunter in that game had a massive, massive impact, especially in the second half. You just have to make sure, though, that I think that taught you got to have as much depth as you can possibly find in college basketball. And that's why I'm not as concerned about the drama that's been going on. I am more concerned about what led Penny to change his answer to, we think that we're okay, we need one more big, to now we need two more bigs. That feels like it's escalated a little bit. And is that because of returns that he's gotten in practice, returns with these guys on campus? Does that show that he doesn't have a confidence in the bigs he has on the floor now? I don't know. Again, it's this Memphis Tigers basketball team, it's difficult to predict what their season's going to look like because there are so many question marks. It's not that these guys don't have talent. They do have talent. And I expect them to be at the top of the American this season. I still believe in this team with cautious optimism, but it's just we had more answers with that team last year. You knew what Tyrese Hunter was going to look like. You knew what P.J. Haggerty was going to look like. You even knew what a guy like Nicholas Jourdain was going to look like, even though he wasn't highly productive for you. You knew what Musa Cisse was going to be for you. You had an idea of what Dane Danger could be. This group is more, can y'all reach the potential that you haven't been able to reach so far in your college career? That kind of feels like this group of players right now, most notably Aaron Bradshaw at that big position. So who can he go out there and find an ad? Who knows? He might find a diamond in the rough. Maybe. He might find a needle in a haystack. To be honest, right. Penny is very good at doing this. He's good at adding players. He's good at finding talent where some others won't look. So that's why I'm excited to hear that he's wanting to add more talent. You just wish it happened 2 months ago instead of 2.5 months before the season begins.
Yes, and with all this, I think it's always worth mentioning, this is not full-on criticism of Penny Hardaway.
No.
This is not. This is maybe criticism of the roster and its construction. But Penny has a tough gig and had a tough set of circumstances this offseason.
He did a really good job.
And to be able to pivot to get the amount of talent he did, the Doug McDaniels of the world, the, you know, Sincere Parker, even though we'll see on that, to get Aaron Bradshaw, to get Julius Thedford, Zach Davis, like Quante Berry, to get all these highly productive,
talented
guys,
roster.
It's impressive, but it's an incomplete roster, and I just think it's really, really tough to turn over an entire roster like this every single offseason. But this is not criticism of Penny Hardaway. I think, if anything, you praise Penny Hardaway for being able to put together a competitive team on the fly.
Yeah.
But I am not confident in this team as I was last year, even the year before, and I know how badly that turned out. But I'm just not very confident in this set of circumstances in this particular team. There's a lot of missing pieces, a lot of holes, and I don't know if you have a chance to fill them.
I think I have confidence in what they will be able to do within conference play. I think they'll have a couple of tough games. It's the out-of-conference where...
But we know that the out-of-conference is where you build up your resume enough so you can...
Your safety net.
If you fall, drop down a couple of spots in conference, you can still have that chance to get an at-large bid. If you don't win the tournament in the American, you still have a chance for an at-large bid. I'm not confident in the out-of-conference. I'm more confident in conference. I think you have the most talented roster. But I don't know how much that says in a one-bid league.
Right. No, I think that's exactly where I was going. Is last year, that out-of-conference schedule was such a success for you, and ultimately is the reason you got the seeding that you did in the NCAA tournament, because we had fears of them being lower seeded. Even though they got that bid from American, you still didn't know where they were going to be. But they had high-quality wins on their resume.
That boosted them to a five.
That boosted them, even though they dropped a couple in conference play, but they were protected because of their non-con.
Mm-hmm.
This year, they have a very difficult non-con schedule again, which, again, credit
good.
To Penny.
You need
you have to build that. Credit to Penny Hardaway for that. He does a great job at building that, of building potential resume wins for the University of Memphis. But you've got to go out there and win those games. And with this roster, if he's already identifying that there is that there might be a lack of depth at the big position, and then you look at the non-con schedule and you say, oh, well, some of those teams, where's their strength? Their bigs. And that's where some of the concern comes in, is can you replicate, you know, even half the amount of success that you had last year in the non-con? That needs to probably be the goal. Because I think it would be fool's gold to say, have the same record you had in non-con last year, this year. It's a different set of circumstances. It's different teams that you're playing. And we can be honest about it. I don't think that you have the level of talent that you had last year. Now, we might be surprised. It is that is why this basketball team is so hard to predict for next season, because we just don't know what this group of guys is going to look like. We don't know what this group of players, how they fit together necessarily. It's a bit of an odd fit with some of these guys. And Sincere Parker, that loss, even though, you know,
it's a lot of your offense.
That's a lot of the offense that you were depending on for next season. So can a guy like Doug McDaniel step up? Can he fill in that role? Can some of the wings that you just mentioned, can they fill that scoring role? They may be able to. Again, we've seen flashes of it in their play previously. Aaron Bradshaw, highly sought after recruit coming out of high school, but hasn't had the opportunity to really show what he has. Is this season going to be the year where, oh, all of a sudden you see it with Aaron Bradshaw? That'd be huge for the Memphis Tigers. It's just about that depth, though. Like, okay, well, let's say that Aaron Bradshaw hits that potential, and he's great for the Memphis Tigers. But again, what happens if he gets
one
foul
game
trouble?
Of foul trouble?
What happens if he picks up an injury? You have to be prepared for these things, and that's why I'm not as worried about in conference. I'm worried about out of conference, mostly because you need to build that safety net for yourself.
What does the set of circumstances in the front court look like against Trey Kaufman Red at Purdue? Right?
Exactly. Exactly. Because it is an unfair expectation to say you have to completely run the table in your conference play. It's nearly impossible to not have at least
road college basketball's hard.
Yes.
No matter who you're playing.
Yes.
Be Rice, UTSA, be the best team in the country. It doesn't matter. Road college basketball is very, very hard. All right, now we do have preseason football tonight. Three games.
We do. I'm fired up.
6 o'clock NFL Network. You're gonna have Colts Ravens. 6:30. I think this is the throwaway game of all throwaway games. I don't expect any starters to run out there. I haven't seen an update on it, but Bengals Eagles will be at 6:30, and then an NFL Network at 9:00 p.m. You're gonna have Raiders and Seahawks. What I'm paying attention to most closely tonight, and I mentioned it earlier in the week when I talked about week one preseason, which game should you be highlighting? I'm looking at that Colts-Ravens game. Ravens are good in the preseason. They usually play some of their players. John Harbaugh had a 24-game win streak. They're 42-13 in the preseason. But I'm looking at that Colts quarterback battle. Is there anything else tonight that you look at any closer than that? Anthony Richardson is supposed to be new and improved based on every report I've read. He's more accurate. He's better from the pocket here now in year three. He's back healthy after the shoulder injury this offseason, sort of rehabbing that. But also you're going to have Daniel Jones run out there. It's still a quarterback battle. I am ready to see Anthony Richardson tonight, because here's the thing. That Colts team is talented enough everywhere else to make some noise if their quarterback position is at least passable, right? Jonathan Taylor's one of the best backs in the league. Your wide receivers, Michael Pittman Jr., I don't think he's like a certified wide receiver one, but he's a 1,000-yard receiver. He can definitely help you out. Big, good at jump balls, that type of thing. The offensive line, Quentin Nelson, Bernard Raymond, who just got paid, Braden Smith, they're taken care of there. The defensive side of the ball, you have a lot of good talent. Cam Bynum at the free safety position. Kenny Moore as one of the best nickels in the league. Linebacker Zaire Franklin is near the top of the league in tackles every year. DeForest Buckner is still there. First-round pick from last year. Leatu Latu is there from UCLA. So, like, if they get decent play from the quarterback position and Anthony Richardson, if he can be dynamic, how we, you know, expected him to sort of develop after coming out of Florida, if he can be that player, this team could be very, very sneaky. And they're in a division that is just overly winnable. You're sitting there in the AFC South. You feel comfortable about your chances to compete as long as you get something out of the quarterback position.
It seems like Anthony Richardson has also had a really good camp. Like, reports from it is that he looks poised. He's making his throws.
Not and checking out of the game.
I think it literally comes, yeah, exactly. It comes down to health for this kid. Like, if he can stay healthy, he's got an opportunity to make some noise in the NFL. He's got the talent. Can he stay healthy? Can he stay out there? And what is he going to look like with his team? Because to your point, they are a team ready to win some football games. They've just got to figure out the quarterback position. And that's why I understand that there is a quote-unquote quarterback battle happening here, but it's Anthony Richardson's job to lose.
Yes.
That's what it is. Daniel Jones is there to be a very good backup if they need to call on him. But this is Anthony Richardson's job. They want him to be QB1. He is, when they drafted him to be the future of the Colts. Now, they completely mismanaged him for the first few years of his career.
No doubt.
It's absolutely insane that they didn't teach this kid how to get down or to run out of bounds. And they were encouraging him to go into contact.
It's about injury, sure, Connor, because that's what we've seen through the first 2 years of his career. But I think it's about the understanding of when to slide, when to get on the ground,
yep,
when to not take hits. That's what will keep him from injuries. Because you need to use his legs. He ran a 4.4 at the combine. He's a crazy athletic guy. And we see that quarterbacks with legs, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, that can propel you into a different stratosphere if you're able to have that type of dynamic playmaker at the quarterback position. But he's got to take it upon himself mentally to be a smarter football player. Don't check out of games. When you need to throw from the pocket, throw from the pocket. Don't have your first thought process be when you don't see your first read open to tuck it and run. And when you do tuck it and run, or you have a designed run, and you see a linebacker closing in on you, get on the ground so you don't take a hit and take an unnecessary injury. I think it's a mindset thing for Anthony Richardson, more so than just strictly saying it's all about him staying on the field and staying healthy.
Because if Anthony Richardson figures it out, they'll have a pretty dynamic offense. It has a lot of potential. Anthony Richardson.
Josh Downs.
I mean, you got Jonathan Taylor, for goodness sake. One of the best running backs in the NFL. Michael Pittman is a legit wide receiver.
They now have Tyler Warren tied in, by the way.
I was just about to bring up Tyler Warren. I mean, he was the 14th pick in this year's NFL draft. A lot of people are really high on him. And he can be kind of a safety net for a player like Anthony Richardson. Just dump that ball off. Instead of going into contact or trying to make a play with your feet, just dump it off to Tyler Warren. Let that guy go to work. So it's, if he can figure it out with the offensive line that he has, Colts could make some noise. They could.
Yeah. Now, Bengals, Eagles, just throw that to the side for now. I mean, we expect both those teams to be competing, right?
Yeah.
But later tonight, 9 o'clock on NFL Network, we get to see Geno Smith. Geno Smith's going to suit up and do his revenge tour against the Seattle Seahawks. I haven't heard anything about Sam Darnold with the Seahawks and how that's going to look. But this Raiders team, I listen, they are not in the Colts position when it comes to, like, chances to make the playoffs, just because they're in the AFC West. That's a really tough division. The Chargers have come along. The Broncos are a great team. The Chiefs are the Chiefs. Like, the Raiders are probably going to be fourth out of four, even if they win 9-10 games. Like, it's just a really, really good division. But when you look at that team and how they've operated this offseason, I feel better about them than I have felt in a long, long time. They made the smart pick in the first round by getting a running back in Ashton Jeanty who can be dynamic for them. Bring in Geno Smith at the quarterback position when they didn't have any good options last year. They were running out Aiden O'Connell and guys like that. Brock Bowers, one of the best, you know, rookie seasons for a tight end
in
the history of the NFL. Jacoby Myers was a 1,000-yard receiver. I do have some questions about the defense, most specifically their back end, their DBs. But you do have some playmakers up there. Max Crosby sort of leads the way there. This Raiders team can be sneaky, can be plucky. I don't think they're going to be a playoff team, though. That's just sort of the outlook when you look at how many games they're playing in division. You have 6 games against some of the stiffest competition in the NFL when you're playing in the AFC West. The Chargers, Broncos, and Chiefs just make life hell.
Would you be shocked if Ashton Jeanty won Rookie of the Year?
Not at all. Not at all. I think he's the favorite, right? He should be the favorite. Him or Cam Ward. But Cam Ward playing for the Titans. That's kind of tough. I think Ashton Jeanty is the favorite right now to win Rookie of the Year. I expect big things from him. I don't think that offensive line is great. by any stretch of the imagination, but Dylan Parham has been a starter for a couple of years. Shout out Memphis. Jackson Powers Johnson has come along, their pick last year out of Oregon. It feels like they have at least a suitable offensive line for a rookie in Ashton Jeanty to be a 1,000-yard back this year.
So here are the odds. Ashton Jeanty and Cam Ward are tied at plus 250. Then Travis Hunter is at plus 550. And then it jumps all the way to plus 1,300 with McMillan from the Panthers.
He's been looking good.
An interesting one. Omarion Hampton with the Chargers is plus 15.
That makes sense.
That wouldn't be a terrible bet. And then they have Tyler Shaw. Yeah. With the Saints.
Is he even going to start?
I don't know.
I have been hearing really bad things about him. I think you're there with me. Spencer Rattler says he's the best quarterback in
camp. Dude. I don't think that would be a very good bet. But it does sound that like Henderson with the Patriots plus 2,000, he's getting a lot of love from camp so far. That wouldn't be a terrible bet. It's going to be an interesting rookie class. A lot of talent.
Yeah. I expect the most just from sheer volume, though, out of Ashton Jeanty. He's going to be the lead back. They're going to run the ball. They're going to be consistent in running the ball.
I'm really curious to see if he's doing the Michael Myers stance.
No, remember they changed that.
Well, they said they were going to, but I want
Chip Kelly. And by the way, Chip Kelly, he can scheme up a run game for Ashton Jeanty.
Yeah, I know that they said they were going to change it, but I am really curious just to see if he actually does, because it just feels like if something like that makes your running back feel the most comfortable, and he has had the success that we've seen with it. Just let
and,
it.
And also the Michael Myers branding that you could do.
Also,
that
was the big point that we were making is you know that the marketing team was like, dude, we've already made t-shirts.
Yeah. Don't change his stance. What are you doing? But Chip Kelly told him, act like a running back. Although he ran for 2,600 yards.
Yeah. He was like,
just let him be.
Have you seen my stats?
Exactly. 100%. All right. Now we need to talk some college football. I want to reminisce on the old days of Memphis football. I'm going to bring on my old OC. He was there through Coach Fuente. He was there with Coach Norvell. Let's bring on Daryl Dickey on the other side right here on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with All Trails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for buy one, get one free on select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Big moments or small moments? They all deserve great style. At Maurice's, we're here to help you show up feeling your best, no matter what's on your calendar. Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got style that fits your life and your budget. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Daryl Dickey is an absolute legend of the game, one of my former OCs under Fuente, and then into Mike Norvell, coach at Texas A&M, offensive coordinator, was a head coach at North Texas for some time in the early 2000s. We bring him on now at Coach Dickey 1 is where you can find him on X. Coach, how's it going?
Gabe, it's going great, but you're kind of making me feel old. I remember when you played, and now Connor said that he was getting ready to put me on with the big man. So I'm glad you're doing well. I keep up with you on social media, and I think you're doing a great job, and you got a great story to follow. Memphis football has done remarkable.
Yes, absolutely. What are you doing these days? Last time I saw you surface with Georgia as an offensive analyst?
Yeah, I was at Georgia for 1 year. When I left A&M, I went there, and I absolutely loved it. Kirby Smart is the real deal. Great coach, great program. But my wife and daughter stayed here in College Station. My wife works at the George Bush Library, and my daughter, Meredith, who y'all probably really remember,
yep,
she started her own business and is actually doing really, really well. She got her degree from A&M in sports management, and just kind of that field didn't fire her up a whole lot when she actually started doing the work. And she did these things called charcuterie boards.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And just fell into it during the COVID year on accident. She liked them herself, and she was making them and eating them, and a friend of my wife's was over, and the three of them were eating it, and the lady looked at her and said, hey, if you'll make one of these for me this weekend, I'm having a brunch for some ladies, about 12 to 15. If you'll make me a bigger board,
right,
I will pay you. And Meredith said, nah, you don't have to pay me. I'll do it. Well, the lady refused to take it without paying her. And then I think two ladies from that reception got her phone number and said, will you do me one? Will you do me one? And kind of cha-ching started.
Yeah.
They saw the possibility, and so I was at Georgia, and my family was here, and even though I really enjoyed what I was doing, I kind of, after 1 year of doing that, I thought, you know, maybe I need to go back and spend a little more time with my family. I drug them all over the country for all these years, and Meredith ended up opening a store, and I'm financially invested in that, as well as just, I'm kind of like the CFO, the chief financial officer, and then the head janitor. Those are my two hats I wear at her store. So I moved back here. I've been out of football 1 year, but to be honest, I'm having a blast. I haven't ruled out, you know, maybe okay, getting back into coaching and or getting back into sports in some capacity. I see Fuente is going to do radio at TCU.
Yep.
You know, I've talked to some people about some various things, but right now I'm staying pretty busy helping my daughter Meredith.
Yeah, your career, you brought up dragging them all over the country. How many moves did you go through throughout your coaching career?
Well,
did you keep count? Did you lose count?
No, we did. You know, and when I say this, some of the moves were you have to move occasionally to advance. So when I start saying this, you know, it's like my mother-in-law asked Tori one day, said, can this guy keep a job or what's going on? And you know, I wasn't fired from all of them, although I got fired from a few. But I go back and, you know, I first started at Memphis. That was my first full-time
right,
gig. I was actually at Texas A&M in 1985 as a graduate assistant. First full-time job was at Memphis. I was there with a guy named Charlie Bailey for 4 years, or 3 years with Charlie and a guy named Chuck Stobarton. Coach mm-hmm. Bailey did a great job. We had 2 1-10 seasons. Not we, but Memphis had under a coach that they got rid of, and Coach Bailey came in, and we weren't in a league back then, and we played 5 to 6 SEC teams every year, and we got up to where we were having winning seasons. He was one of the hottest coaches in the country, and then one thing led to another, and he wasn't there, so I went from there to Mississippi State for a year, LSU for 3, UTEP for 3, SMU for 1. Then I was a head coach at North Texas for 9. I went out to Utah State for two, New Mexico for two, Texas State for one, and then back to Memphis for 6 years. And it was the same deal. We came in, and the coach before us had kind of struggled. They'd gone 1-10, 1-10. And, you know, I came in with Coach Fuente, and we were part of the group that kind of helped it get going. And then when he went to Virginia Tech, I had moved my daughter, and she was midway through her junior year. And I said, I'm not going to move her during this part of her high school career. So I probably did what a lot of people would consider was career suicide. I told Coach Fuente I wasn't going, and I didn't have a job. And I talked to Mike Norvell, and originally he wasn't going to keep anybody, but through the process, he ended up keeping me, and just one of the best things that ever happened to me. And then the situation at here at A&M. So I think I've moved nine times.
Jeez. That's a lot. That's a coaching profession for you. Now,
well, you know, I told Tori, I said, you know, I'll show you the world. And she said, well, I didn't know we were going to live in all these places. So, but it's been fun.
Yep, no doubt. Now, Memphis, from when I was there, you were there 2012 to 2017 for your second stop. I know I'm putting you on the spot, but, like, when you think back on that time, like, what hops out to you memory-wise or memories-wise? Like, what was your favorite memory from that second stop when we got this thing going?
Okay, I'll hit both two things. One, the one thing about Memphis, before this little run they've been on, Memphis had always been a place that would get going and then go back down.
Right.
Get going and then go back down. They'd never had a whole lot of really sustained success. Like Tommy West was probably the only thing close to sustained success. And then before him, you go back to Coach Murphy.
Right.
You know, but Memphis has had sustained success since Justin Fuente's third year until today. Mm-hmm. That's pretty damn good. Three different head coaches, and they've been in bowl games every year. And before Coach Fuente left, the last coach to ever leave Memphis on his own accord was a guy named Fred Pankos. You've probably never heard of him, have you, Gabe?
I've heard the name. I've heard the name.
Okay, well, you've done your homework because he was there a long time before you were born. But so anyway, I think the fact that when we came in, Coach Fuente put in a work-style mentality because that's how he was. He was a grinder. He was a hard worker. And we worked them so hard, and you were part of it, that, you know, we were probably either going to lose the whole team and they were going to turn on us, or we were going to, you know, kind of turn the corner and get it going. And I think, you know, probably some of my best memories, one, you know, the very first bowl game we went to, the Miami Beach Bowl. We won the game and we won the fight.
Absolutely.
We had a really good weekend down there. But they started the fight, and so, you know, picked the wrong guys to pick a fight with. But
I always tell people don't pick a fight with a senior who has nothing to lose. It was Martin Effetti, the center for BYU. Pushed Martin Effetti. Don't push him. Don't do that. Also, he's worth mentioning, 6'4", 275, and he was an NFL player.
Right. Well, and I'd been out at Utah State and had kind of been around BYU, and no disrespect, but they kind of were looking.
You guys
down their
made
nose
us
at
him. Hate them before that game.
Oh, yeah,
too. I remember the cut up that Coach Fuente put up on the board of their dirty plays.
Yeah, they kind of were chirping at us. We hadn't been to a bowl game in a while. We weren't really as highly thought of as a football program then as Memphis is now. And so, you know, I just remember a couple of times I heard them make some comments at some of the functions we went to together. And, you know, one thing I will always say about Memphis players, that when they get ready to play, they can play with anybody. When I was there with Coach Bailey, we beat Alabama and they were like fifth in the nation. And the next week we turned around and we lost to Southwest Louisiana. So, you know, it was one of those, if we could get ready to play, we didn't lack for any confidence. But, no, that was a fun season, you know, and then Mike Norvell coming in, you know, because he walked into a tough situation. Coach Fuente had gotten the program going. we had a pretty good football team coming back the next season. And he came in, and I felt like the football players that were on Fuente's team that came back and played for Norvell really bought in to Coach Norvell. And, you know, the first year we didn't start off really good. We had a lot more turnovers than usual because we changed offensive styles. And I think we went 8-5 or something like that.
Right.
But then the next year, man, we took off. And our only loss, we only lost to Central Florida in the regular season and Central Florida in the championship games. And that was a heck of a football team. And then, you know, Brian Silverfield has kept it going. So I think probably one of the funnest games that I've been a part of, and you'll remember this, Coach Norvell's first year, we played Houston the last game of the regular season.
Yep.
And it was a shootout. And Houston had our number. We couldn't beat them. We almost beat them the year before and kind of blew like a 20-point lead or something in the fourth quarter and then missed the field goal on the last play of the game to send it into overtime. But they had our number, and they had a really good team.
Right.
And they came to Memphis, and we beat them 48-45, I think was the score, 45-42, something like that. It was a shootout.
It was Anthony on that slant across the middle for the game winning touchdown. And I think that was Herman's last game before he went to Texas.
Exactly. You know, the story is that the night before the game, ESPN leaked out that Tom Herman was talking to the University of Texas. They had targeted him. Well, their team dinner, that comes across the TV, and we talked to some of their coaches the next day and said, our players are really mad that came out, and, you know, they felt betrayed, and so they're either going to play lights out or they're not going to play at all. But to be honest, it was a great game.
Yes.
I mean, both teams played unbelievable, and you know, the best thing I think Coach Norvell did when he got there was go get Riley Ferguson.
Yep, 100%.
Because that dude was a killer now. I mean, and he was a showtime guy, you know, because Paxton announced he was coming out after the bowl game that year, and you know, Coach Norvell was like, you know, I was still talking to him. He hadn't quite hired me yet, but I said, you know, you might want to think about going and getting a JUCO guy. And I told him about Riley, and he had already been talking to Riley from Arizona State, and what a phenomenal deal that was to bring him in.
So you brought up the Houston Tom Herman thing. You had to deal with that with the Birmingham Bowl in 2015. We started off 8-0. Navy beat us. It was rough. And then down the stretch, I swear to this day, I think we lost to Houston twice when they had that big comeback. And then we played Temple the next week. We were just down in the dumps because we felt like we had lost everything. But you had to deal with that. Like, I still get questions about the Birmingham Bowl to this day. How tough is it when coach leaves, you have to take over, you have to try to rally the troops? Obviously, it feels like a very, very tough situation.
Yeah, and the thing is, I felt like I had a good relationship with the players.
Right.
We were playing an Auburn team that had some guys hurt during the season, and we're getting them back for the bowl game. And then for us, Paxton pretty much knew he wasn't coming back. And, you know, I don't know if you remember, but Ricky Hunter got hurt.
Yep.
During
that was a fight, and somebody got pushed.
Yeah, and during our practices, and that wasn't that strange. We had fights all the time.
Yeah.
But they were good fights. I mean, but you know, so
for sure,
it was ten to ten at the half, and they just kind of made some plays in the second half and pulled away. I wish we'd have been a little bit more at full force, but you know, Coach Norvell had already been named the head coach. So it was kind of a different situation. A lot of times the interim coach, they use it as let's test and see what happens in the game and maybe go with him or not. But they hired Coach Norvell, and then Coach Norvell wanted me to coach the bowl game, which I was fine with. But he was out of practice every day. So it's a little bit, my situation was, it was a little bit like being kind of a substitute teacher
right.
when they know that, you know, this guy's running the program right now, but he's not going to be the permanent head coach. So I think we had a lot of fun leading up to it. And, you know, we played well, but we didn't play good enough to to finish it up.
Yeah. Now, I'm sure you've seen the news, the Big 12 and the offer Memphis threw out there, and the Big 12 saying they're not interested. When you look at this athletic department and the football program and the strides they've made, do you think they're a power conference? Do you think the University of Memphis is a power conference program?
Well, I do. I don't know why that they didn't get into the Big 12, and maybe even have been asked to be in other conferences along the way. You know, I hear probably the same things you do, the knocks against Memphis, that I don't really know if that's legitimate. You know, I do think there's a whole lot of people making decisions on college football that don't know a whole lot about football or sports, and I can say that now that I don't coach
right.
anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not in danger of getting fired, but I'm kind of like, you know, some things don't seem to make sense from a geographic standpoint. Memphis is in a great location. They're in a great city. The travel in and out of Memphis is easy. I mean, when you go play Arkansas State, which I did at North Texas as a head coach, and when you go play Ole Miss, most every team that comes and plays stays in Memphis.
Yep.
You know, and so I think the Memphis athletic department and the programs, the football, the basketball, the baseball, the other sports that are there, they've done everything they need to do to show they can compete at that level. The financial investment, I think, everybody says this Tillman Fertitta's who helped Houston, but, I mean, there was no bigger advocate for Memphis athletics than Fred Smith.
Yep.
And, you know, so I really am I'm stumped by why it hasn't happened, you know, but I've always been the type that, you know what, if something doesn't go your way, you can't sit around and whine about it. Make the best of the situation you're in, which I think Memphis has done, and it'll happen one day. Or maybe this conference will just continue to grow and develop and get better, and might be the best situation. I was a little worried, just being very honest, about if Memphis would have gotten an invitation to the Pac-12, and
right.
I don't know if that materialized or didn't, but I would have been like, oh man, they don't want to do that. That was just my feeling, and it's a big name. But the travel is crazy, and I was semi in that situation at North Texas when I first got there. We were kind of in what they call the old Big West Conference, which everybody we played was out on the West Coast, and it wasn't as good a deal as people thought it might be, and I was getting the same worries for Memphis when they were talking to the Pac-12. I thought the Big 12 would have been a great situation,
right.
But you know, there's some, when you start stacking the teams up, there's some the American still has quality football programs, basketball. I mean, it, you know, whether it's on par with the Big 12, I can't sit here and say one way or the other. But I do think Memphis just needs to keep doing what they're doing and, you know, winning games, being relevant. I mean, going down to Florida State last year and winning, that's
it's
a big
awesome.
Win. You know, it's awesome. So,
and shout out to Mike for scheduling it.
Yeah. But I think probably he thought when he was doing it, he was doing Memphis a favor for you know, letting him be the head coach and
right.
so on and so forth. And then, yeah, like he picked a bad time to not have a very good season, because I watched the entire game and it was not a fluke. It was a pretty dominating performance by the Tigers.
Yeah. All right. Now, I don't mean to open up old wounds, but I need to ask you about the Texas A&M time. You were with Jimbo Fisher as his offensive coordinator. And Jimbo, like, the amount of money he made, it was unbelievable at that time. A&M was, you know, really taking a shot with him to try to get to a national championship. And it didn't work out. It just didn't work out. There's no other way to put it. Why didn't it work out, in your opinion, from where you were?
Well, you know, there's a lot of factors that go in. A lot of people think you just can throw out a bunch of money and buy a national championship. A lot of people have tried, and it hasn't happened. You know, A&M has only had one national championship in 1939, I think. They've won a few conference championships. But, you know, Coach Fisher came in, and to be honest, I thought we were heading in a nice trajectory. And I was here for 5 of his 6 years. Our fifth year, going into our fifth year, you know, I felt like, and Jimbo's a great football coach, great offensive mind. He got criticized at Florida State and here for not having an up-to-date offense, but I disagree. Mm-hmm. He's got a really good offense that when he's got the players in place, it's as strong as there is. Probably his Florida State national championship team right. might have been one of the best teams in all of, you know, college football history. So, but when we kind of, I think after our third or fourth year, we kind of started getting more to a drop back passing game as opposed to we had a quarterback here, kid named Kellen Mond that was yep. a great athlete, and we incorporated some quarterback runs, some RPOs, some option game, and we utilized his ability. And when he left, we kind of got away from that and got back to more of what Coach Fisher, you know, which, hey, who's to say it was right or wrong, but it didn't work out. The next year we finished 8-4, and we had some quarterback injuries that killed us. Our starting quarterback broke his leg the second series of the second game of the season against Colorado, and our backup came in and played really good and then had a few games that were really poor, and we went 8-4. Mm-hmm. We had one game short because something happened. We didn't play one of the games that was still some hangover from the COVID deal in 2021. And so then the next year, my last year, we kind of really were moving towards the drop back game. We weren't as stout pass protection wise as we had been in the past. And we didn't have a good year. Our starting quarterback once again
yep.
got, we benched him after the second game. He played really poorly, and we got up by Appalachian State, which got people, those upsets happen, but they get people stirring. Then we cruised along, and we lost to Arkansas, which is a team we hadn't been losing to, and we went with another quarterback. Then down the stretch, we found a really good quarterback, and so – but we didn't win enough games.
Yep.
We went 5-7. I got fired, and you know they were going to continue to evolve offensively, and it just didn't work out the next year either. I think they just decided that things weren't going here the way they thought they should for as much money as they were putting into the program. So they decided to make a change. And but, you know, Jimbo Fisher's a hell of a coach. He was good to yep. me, you know, right up until the day he fired me.
But yeah, right.
That's part of the business, though. I know that. I knew that going in. And I had a great time here. We had some huge wins. You know, we beat Alabama when they were number one in the nation. Our first year here, we played LSU, and they were pretty well thought of program. And we played 7 overtimes, and we
yep.
beat them 74-72. That's my one little claim to fame now that my career is over. I'm the only coach in college football. This record will never be broken. I'm the only coach in college football history that has played in 2 7 overtime games and won both of them.
There we go.
And LSU A&M was 74-72, and North Texas versus Florida International went 7 overtimes, and we won 28-25, the two worst-looking offenses you've ever seen.
It's a hell of a trivia question.
Two really bad kickers.
Yeah, for sure. Well, yeah, I hear you. But that's a trivia question we need to throw out there.
Yeah, the second one, the LSU one, is what changed the overtime rules.
Do you like the new overtime rules, by the way? Dueling 2-point conversions?
Not at all.
Yeah, I hate it too. I can't stand it.
I think you should do what they used to do, and you know, how many 7 overtime games are you going to get? Not many.
But right.
I think that's the best way to find out, you know, who's the better team.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for buy one, get one free on select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
But, you know, I don't like the new one. I don't like the just going for two. But, you know, everybody's always changing a rule when something happens. I got one more trivia question. Somebody, I think, posted on your thing the other day about Calvin Austin starting for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they were saying, you know, and he didn't even get a scholarship till his third year at Memphis. There's another guy exactly like that you know.
Anthony?
Anthony was a walk-on.
Yes.
He had a couple of other offers, but Fuente – he came to camp and ran a 4.6.
Yep.
And Coach Fuente just couldn't get past that. And Holman Wiggins and I both were in there going, Coach, we got to take this guy. And Anthony wanted to be at Memphis. And you know how he was. He said,
hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for buy one, get one free on select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.